Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
7:14 now, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Ian Ozan, whom you just heard with the news, also co-host of the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup. And if you don't listen to it, you should, because they put Friday night around the state on the air here on WWL, and you don't even have to go to the games. How you doing, Ian?
I'm doing well this morning, Tommy. How are you, sir?
I am okay. Tell me what y'all looking at tonight.
So tonight we're going to be live at your alma mater, Archbishop Shaw, as the megaphone rivalry continues. The Eagles taking on the Rummel Raiders. And Tommy, as an alumnus, you know this dates back to the 1960s when these two schools opened. Rummel won last year 35-21, but Shaw used that loss to propel themselves to their first state title since 1987. Last week, Rummel looked awfully good. They beat U High in convincing fashion, 30-17 in the Superdome. Jayden Terrence, Corian Hawkins, both of them juniors, they combined for more than 200 yards in that game, plus three touchdowns, including a kickoff return by Terrence. So this is going to be a tough task for Shaw, team that really and truly is still has a lot of question marks surrounding it. They're young. They lost a lot of talent from last year's state championship team. And even though they beat West Jeff last week 49-0, I'm not sure that we were able to glean much from that win. The week before, they lost Etna Carr 35-0. So it's been a tale of two games so far, looking to see if they can figure out a way to beat Rummel this week.
Man, I get confused when we talk about select and non-select and who's in what division. So when it comes to Shaw and Rummel, compare and contrast.
So both of these schools are in select divisions. Archbishop Rummel is Division I, which used to be Class 5A. So if you want to break it down, Division I is equal to Class 5A. Meanwhile, Shaw is a 4A school. They're playing in Division II. They're both private parochial schools. That puts them in the select. If you're a private school, a parochial school, or if you're a public school that's open enrollment, or school of choice or a charter school, you're in select. If you're a traditional public school where you have attendance zones, then you're non-select.
So when it comes to the category of the division, that's because of the enrollment?
Correct. That's once the playoffs begin, we go from the classification system to the divisions. All of Class 5A and the most popular schools in 4A play in Division 1, then the rest of 4A and the biggest 3A schools play in Division 2 and on down to Division 5.
What are some other big matchups y'all are looking at tonight?
Maybe the biggest matchup on the docket tonight that we're looking at is Alexandria at Destrehan. If you're going to go to a game that's not Shaw or Rummel, this may be it, because Alexandria's offense is absolutely explosive. Get this, in 2 weeks of the season so far, they've outscored their opponents 111-7. And those opponents are no slouches. The West Feliciana team that made a run deep into the playoffs last year and a Union Parish squad that got to the state finals last year. Now, granted, Union Parish is down this year, but I don't think anybody expected Alexandria to steamroll them the way they did last week and shut them out. Now, with that said, the only team that can beat Destrehan is Destrehan. Their only loss of the season was in week one to Catholic of Baton Rouge. That was the result of turnovers, penalties, mistakes, things we typically don't see from Destrehan, a disciplined squad. Last week, they seemed to get that under control against Bonneville. They beat him 58-20, but the Destrehan defense will have a tough time against it, against a team that got to the state finals last year, brought back most of that talent, and is looking to get back to the Superdome this year with their explosive offense.
So tell me some of the other games you're looking at besides those.
St. Charles Catholic at Dunham. St. Charles Catholic goes on the road to Baton Rouge tonight to play a Dunham squad that has the number one national recruit in the class of 2027. That's their junior quarterback, Elijah Haven. He's 6'5", 215. He may be a high school junior, but this kid is a man. He's being recruited by Alabama, by Florida, by Georgia, LSU, Auburn, and the list goes on and on.
What's his name again?
Elijah Haven. And this kid,
who's he play for?
For Dunham. out of Baton Rouge. This kid, a couple years ago as a freshman, was turning heads, and we thought, okay, he might be special. Last year, he proved he was beyond special, and St. Charles is going to have a tough time stopping him tonight. Though, we've got to give St. Charles credit. Last year, in their first year playing up in classification in 4A, this was a squad that had a tough time. They finished the regular season 4-6. They won a playoff game, but they knew that it would be a bit of a challenge. So far this year, St. Charles has done a good job with their opponents. They beat Newman 36-3. They shut out Letcher last week 28-0, but they've not seen anything like Elijah Haven. 535 total yards last week, 8 total touchdowns. His mate in the running back, Jarvis Washington, a senior who's committed to South Alabama, accounted for nearly half the output. He caught 11 passes, 259 yards, and 4 of those touchdowns. So St. Charles will have their hands full tonight. But with that said, week 3 with rivalries and with teams starting to feel themselves, a win is not out of the question for the Comets.
So, I'm trying to get back to this kid. It's 6'5", 215. He's a running back?
He is a quarterback.
A quarterback, yes. Okay, that makes sense. And what class is he in? Is he a sophomore, junior?
He is a junior. So he is the number one recruit in his class nationally. In fact, he had a look from Cornell, but he's already ruled that out. He's looking at an SEC school in LSU, Georgia, Auburn, Florida, Alabama. They're all in the mix to get this kid in the sweepstakes come next year.
Jesuit at Bonneville.
Jesuit at Bonneville, that game is going to be at Joe Yenny Stadium. Scott Phillips will be there tonight. Jesuit is coming into this game. They're looking good. Bonneville last week didn't hold up well against Destrehan. They're 1-1. This is one of these games where Jesuit goes in and it's a possible trap for them. Bonneville maybe 500, but this is a winnable game for Jesuit. This one quite possibly could get out of hand quick.
Okay. How about De La Salle at St.
De La Salle at St. Paul's. That one's going to be on the North Shore. And this is one where De La Salle goes in playing a St. Paul's team that is always primed for a playoff run. And St. Paul's, they lost in the playoffs earlier than expected last year. I think they got to the second round, if I remember correctly, and then were eliminated at that point. But St. Paul's is strong again this year. They have a good bit of talent from last year's squad. De La Salle, though, trying to find their footing. This is a team that got to the quarterfinals a few years back, and they've sputtered to start the season, trying to get a big win, and a big win this would be if they were able to beat St. Paul's.
Tell me what you put on the air tonight, Ian, for people that don't know that haven't listened.
So for those who aren't familiar, we typically are live at a school every week. We pick a school, we go there, and we broadcast from that stadium. And then we have anywhere between 10 and 15 correspondents who are on the road sending reports back to us. Tonight we have 10 reporters at Booker T. Washington Covington, St. Charles at Dunham, Pineville Tioga, South Plaque at Belle Chase, Slidell Warren Easton, Lakeshore at North Shore, De La Salle St. Paul's, Jesuit Bonneville, Pine at Franklinton and Alexandria Destrehan. We also have someone at McDonough 35 and Etna Carr, their public address announcer, so when he gets a break, he'll phone in reports. But we have reporters at a bunch of games around the area and across the state. They phone in reports. Coach Lou and I provide score updates throughout the night, an interview or two with whoever drops by. And as you said earlier, we put Louisiana high school football on the map and on the radio. Last year, got a text message from Knoxville, Tennessee, someone saying, hey, we hear you loud and clear on the Big 870. So there's a huge audience. And for the Elijah Havens of the world or some of the other big-name players, you have coaches or parents or football fans in general who are listening who may not know about these kids, but once they hear about them, they follow them all throughout their high school, their college career, and for those who go pro, throughout their professional careers.
How do you go about getting this network of reporters together? It can't be easy.
It's not, but these are guys who do what they love, and for the vast majority of them, they've been with this for 5, 10, some guys have been doing this for 20 years, and they enjoy it. They get in touch with us, and in some cases, their friends like, hey, how'd you get involved with that? Then they get in touch with us, and we add them into the rotation.
It's a Friday night tradition, I'll tell you that. Thank you, Ian. I know you got to go. You're ready for news. We appreciate it. Ian Ozan, and it is the Prep Football, Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup. Ian Ozan, Coach Lou Valden, tonight and every Friday night at 7. It is the most comprehensive high school football show in America. They're going to be live tonight from Shaw at the...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
No, the Eagles are hosting Archbishop Rummel, and Shaw's got a stadium on a campus now, and they got a nice game day experience where, boy, I'm going to tell you what, it's a good family-friendly atmosphere. The kids can go and socialize, and it's safe, and they've done a great job out there. They really have. Other matchups, McDonough 35 at Edna Carr, Alexandria, Destrehan, St. Charles Catholic at Dunham, where they got that 6'5", 215 quarterback, Jesuit at Bonneville, De La Salle at St. Paul's, and a whole lot more. Get ready. Friday Night Lights, the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup, presented by Acadian Companies and Dr. Pepper, this evening from 7 till 10:30. It is only on WWL. Time now for traffic. All right, 7:28 now on this Friday morning, making our way nicely through it as we matriculate toward the weekend. We've already spoken to Jeff Palermo, Billy Nungesser, Ian Ozan about the Friday Night Prep Football Manning Family, you know what it is, the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup. There we go. If you missed any of it, all you have to do is download the Odyssey app. You can listen to this show and WWL Time Shifted Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Still to come, we'll talk to Steve Nelson on the other side of the news. He's the General Superintendent of the Sewerage and Water Board. We'll get an update on that delayed substation that they've been working on. We'll talk about where the city and the Sewerage and Water Board stands with that. 8 o'clock, we're going to talk to Mike Dettillier, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk, take a look at the Saints-Seahawks game. Then we'll talk to Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member. New Orleans facing a huge budget deficit. The city's been instituting some cost-saving measures, but how did we get here, and what does that mean for the next mayor? 9 o'clock, in case you've not heard, Arthur Hardy, the publisher, the guy that does the Mardi Gras guide, is retiring after Mardi Gras this year. So we're going to go up close and personal with him, find out how he got started, hear his story, and find out what's next for him. Then we'll wrap it up by getting you some winners with JR with Taking Vegas, and not next Friday, but the Friday after that, we'll start managing my money with JR, and we're going to... I'm going to put up $5,000 of my own money and see how he does. 7:30, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to the aforementioned Ian Ozan. We are in a drought. Latest drought monitor has been released, and compared to late, we're seeing more of the area in drought conditions at least, which is good for the Sewerage and Water Board because they don't have any water to pump. However, it is going to rain again, and when it does, they will have to pump that water. With that, we welcome in Steve Nelson, General Superintendent of the Sewerage and Water Board of New Orleans. How you doing, Steve?
Hey, living the dream, doing well, Tommy. Thank you. How are you?
A professional engineer. I guess you got to like it when it's sunny, huh? Everything works fine with the Sewerage and Water Board?
It removes the risk of flooding is awfully mm-hmm. reduced when it doesn't rain. It does create some strain on some of our water pipes because we see soil consolidation, but yeah, as far as stormwater goes, pretty easy when there's nothing falling.
You know what? That's interesting. Talk about that, because with no rain, the water table, help me if I hurt myself here, the water table shrinks, and as a result, pipes can subside and break like water mains or what?
Yeah, so you kind of hit the nail on the head there. Some of our soils here in Orleans Parish are similar to the sponge on the side of your kitchen sink. And when that sponge dries out, it consolidates, and the pipes that are in the soil, they don't like to move. They're meant to stay static. So we've seen this a couple of times in my short tenure here. You'll see more water main breaks in the summer, and then when it starts to rain again, you can see more issues with sewer later on in the year.
So is there any way to monitor the water table, Steve? You're an engineer. Tell me.
Yeah, there are actually water table monitoring wells across Orleans Parish that we're working with the city on, actually working on putting some monitoring, real-time monitoring digitally there. But there are, yes, there are monitoring wells across the city.
But bottom line, there's nothing you can do. You can't artificially increase the water table, can you?
No, there's not really a good way to do that. I mean, if you have leaks in your sewer pipes or leaks in your water pipes, that goes into the groundwater table. But there's nothing like an inch or two of rain to increase that.
Well, there you go. One question leads to another, which is, I know we have a lot of fresh water leaking, right, every day still because of leaky pipes and so forth. Does that do anything to offset a drought when it comes to the water table?
I wouldn't say that there's enough. We do have leaky pipes, but I wouldn't say there's enough to offset the groundwater table rise. I think rain is the best way to keep your groundwater high.
Yeah, it's the same thing with watering the lawn. You can try it with a hose, but ain't nothing like a good rain. Tell me what's going on with this power plant, the Carrollton Water Plant, the power plant that is. How are we referring to this thing, the Carrollton Water Plant?
The power complex.
Power
located
complex.
At the Carrollton Water Plant. So, yeah, where you see the two big water towers, that's also where we generate that 25 hertz electricity that we've been talking about for 120 years. And actually, as of Monday, we're going to enter what we're referring to as a reliability testing phase, which really just means we're going to run it under operating conditions. It looks like it's supposed to rain next week. We're going to run it just like we would turbine 4, turbine 5. We're just going to have the manufacturer staff on site with our staff as we run it. So we're talking about weather patterns. The ideal for us would be to get a quarter to a half to an inch of rain on a daily basis, 2, 3, 4, 5 days a week, so we can put it through its paces. We want to see it run at this point. It's done well. We've run it on drainage pumps. We've run it on potable water pumps. We had a test on Monday. Running at 24 hours at over 20 megawatts. We need 44 megawatts at peak demand. So it's performing well.
Can you test it if it doesn't rain?
You can run it. We can run some of our potable water pumps, but it's pretty tough to really put what we call a dynamic load. We have something called a load bank, which is basically a giant space heater that can provide a big demand, but it's very linear, and the pumps have fluctuating power demand. So we do want to see some rain so we can get some water in our canals and see how it runs the pumps under a dynamic or less stable load. So the weather pattern next week looks really good for testing that.
When it comes to pipes that leak, somebody texted in, is the concern more about drainage or supply pipes that leak? Is there one that leaks more than the other?
What I was talking about was more the water supply pipes.
Right.
We see more breakage. Well, you see the breakage when it's dry because the water will surface. But we are also getting failures. Breaks on sewer lines, they don't like, or storm drains as well. They don't like it when the soil moves either. You just don't see that until it starts to rain again.
So have you had a big increase in the amount of leaks that are popping up that you now know where they were when you didn't know because it wasn't so dry?
It's moderate this year. That summer of 2023, it was multiple weeks. It was a record in terms of a serious record in terms of heat, and also a record in terms of drought. And we did see a dramatic increase in the number of water main leaks and service leaks that year in particular. This year, a little bit of an uptick, but 2023 was significant.
Let me pick it up here. We come back. Steve Nelson, our guest, General Superintendent of the Sewerage and Water Board, talking about the power complex at the Carrollton Water Plant. You got any questions or comments? Text them in, 504-260-1870. That's the Oquinar Jeweler Talk and Text Line. More when we return. Traffic now, WWL. 757, 3 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Back with Steve Nelson, General Superintendent of the Sewerage and Water Board of New Orleans. We're talking about the power complex at the Carrollton Water Plant. Somebody texted in, Steve, about, so it's still going to be an inch an hour, half inch after that. Again, that's a generalization for the entire system. But without this power, while this doesn't increase that capacity, without this power, you couldn't guarantee that's going to happen, right? Without this power plant in terms of continuity of power?
Yes, that is correct, and a great point made. It does not increase the capacity that we've got. That is, that inch an hour for the first hour, half hour thereafter, or every hour thereafter. But you're absolutely correct. Wherein you're dealing with that 25 hertz power that's being generated from assets like Turbine 4, which was made in the World War One horse and buggy era, you're going to have a lot more risk profile there, and that's what we've seen. The pumps generally run. You can see that real time on our website. The pumps are running, but the issues have historically been for us the power supply and having reliable 25 hertz power. So it's going to make it much, much simpler. So instead of having a dozen different sources of power, we're going to have this power complex with three frequency changers, double redundancy, keep Turbine 5 and Turbine 6 and Turbine 7 available for backup. So we're going to be in a much more stable, much more reliable place.
Steve, 30 seconds real quick. How's the installation of smart meters going, and how about catch basin cleaning?
Oh, the smart meters are great. We've got over 130,000 in the ground right now. Folks can sign up on their portal at swbno.org to see real-time hour-by-hour usage. I run into somebody just about every day that says they've gotten an alert about a continuous usage, a leak, found an issue with a toilet, a pool, what have you. And then the last item that you were talking about, catch basin cleaning, we got about 10% of the catch basins done. We've pulled over 5.5 million pounds of debris out of the system thus far this year. So that after the power complex, I'm fully convinced, is the most important thing we can do to positively affect folks' day-to-day lives.
You got that right, bro. Thank you, Steve Nelson. Appreciate it. We'll take a break. We can come back. We'll talk to Mike Dettelier about the Saints Seahawks. Then we'll talk to Joe Geruso about the city and its budget problems. Tommy Tucker, WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.